Well, good morning, church. It's great to be here with you again this week. You know, much of life is a question of maintaining balance. If you ask any athletic team, they know you need a balance between offense and defense, and a balance between quickness and strength. In our personal finances, we need to maintain a balance between income and expenses. We find, especially as we get older, we find out you need to have that balance between diet and exercise and rest. And if you have too much on one extreme or the other, you hamper healthy living. And we also find this in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk, that there needs to be a balance between knowledge and application. In the book of Colossians, the way it's written, that the first two chapters of Colossians deal with right thinking, that what we do with all has to do with our knowledge and our understanding. It's orthodoxy. And then the last two chapters deal with what we know, how we behave, how we live our lives in front of a watching world. And so those two, what do we know and how do we live, they really work well together. And Paul urges us in Colossians to live a balanced life. And you can see when we look around in our world today just how important this is, that the church, for example, is known in many different ways. Some people in our world today will say that the world is just made up of hypocrites, that we will say one thing on Sunday, but then live a completely different way Monday through Saturday. Or they see us as obnoxious and intolerant and against everything fun. And it's because of a lack of balance. And so what the world needs and what non-Christians need is for Christians to live lives of balance, lives that are stable and authentic, and that we live our everyday lives with the Spirit of Jesus. And so our scripture this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And Paul writes to us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So now in these two verses, Paul gives us four characteristics of a well-rounded or a balanced Christian. The first thing he says is that a Christian needs to be Bible saturated. Now, Paul tells us, right, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And he's encouraging the believer to allow the message of the Bible to dominate, to saturate, and motivate their living. That word dwell, it means to feel at home. And Paul urges us to have such a relationship with God and with God's word that we feel at home with it, that we're happy with it, that, you know, it's like that comfy chair we have at our homes that you just sit in and you're like, I'm here. And so how do we get to be to that point? How do we get to be Bible saturated? Well, I think, first of all, we must know the message, right? In other words, we've got to read the Bible. A Christian is someone who knows God's word, and we need to read it daily. The person who is saturated by God's word will never find dust sitting on their Bible. We must understand the message carefully. Now, hearing and understanding are two different things. You know, how many men of you have heard their wives said, "You aren't listening to me." And they said, "What?" You know, it's not that we're not hearing. It's just we're just not getting it, what's being said. And in order to survive in any kind of relationship, or marriage specifically, but in any kind of relationship, we've got to engage in active listening. We ask clarifying questions. We must make sure that we are hearing rightly. And, And this is what we have to do with God's word. We interact with it to make sure that we understand what is being said. And then we need to apply the message practically. You know, the Bible doesn't teach us about forgiveness so that we could talk about forgiveness. The Bible talks about forgiveness so that we will forgive. The Bible doesn't teach us about peace so that we can write nice songs. It's so that we can experience a real calm in the midst of troubled times in our world today. And the word dwells in us richly when it is yielding some effect in our lives. And in order for us to apply the biblical message, there are several things we should be doing. Right? We interact with the text. And we do this by reading it. And you know, you are allowed to write in your Bible. You're allowed to highlight it and make notes. Jot down questions when you come across them. You know, it's okay to do that. And mark your Bible up. Use it as a textbook. And then you need to meditate on the text. And where the Bible is telling a story, look at the situation from the perspective of the various characters. You know, you're reading through Luke 15, and imagine yourself as the prodigal son. You know, imagine yourself in that pigsty, or imagine yourself walking back to your father and not knowing if you'll be accepted or not. And what it feels like to have the father's arms wrap around you. And put yourself in the elder brother's position. And put yourself in the father's position. You know, turn the Bible around like a jewel and look at all the different facets of it. And I think we need to memorize the text. You know, Jesus, when confronted with temptation by the devil, used scripture. And you can't do that unless you know what the Bible says from memory. And you don't have to memorize huge chunks at a time, but there are really important passages to glam onto and hold on to. You know, start with a verse a month. And just say that verse over and over again for the entire month. Because these are the types of things that will allow us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And secondly, I think we need to have a mutual ministry, or Paul would say we need to have a mutual ministry. Because the second characteristic in this passage is that a well-balanced believer is aware that they are involved in a mutual or a shared ministry. And what a beautiful Sunday for us to even be talking about that. Where we've got Vacation Bible School, shared ministry. We had this big action of disaffiliation, which after today, I think we should make it illegal to ever say that word ever again. But disaffiliation was a mutual, it was a shared ministry because it took all of us to get to that point. You know, this is contrary to the ways of the world. We live in a world that teaches us to be independent. You know, we live in a world that tells us, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and do not be dependent on anyone. And as a result of these types of teaching, we find ourselves becoming more and more isolated from each other. And this is not what God wants for his people. God has called for us to be involved with one another. God has designed the church so that we are interdependent. In fact, he even uses this analogy of the human body. He says the Christian community is like a body, and each one has those different parts, and each one has the different purposes and different functions, and that the whole body has to work together to be effective. And Paul tells us that God has given us various gifts or skills that can be used in ministry. Right? We have to work together. We use what God has given us for his glory. And that's the way it's meant to be in the church. It's not meant to be a one-person operation. God calls us all to be involved in ministry. And for some, it's being involved in Sunday school or the nursery or VBS or our youth group. And for others, it could be singing in the choir or playing bells or bringing special music. You know, some people are going to work behind the scenes, copying and mailing and cleaning and repairing. And some will serve by giving financial support or gaining vision for the church or managing resources for the church. Right? There, as many people are in this space today, there are that many different types of groups or giftedness that could be used for God's glory. And when everybody is doing what they can do, we become what God wants us to be, because we're called to be in mutual ministry. Thirdly, a spirit of celebration. You know, one of the ways that we are to teach and admonish one another is through the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, I think that means that we are to be a joyful singing body. Right? We should be celebrating grace. It only makes sense that as Christians, we should be using music to teach and to worship and encourage one another. Right? Worship is a joyful thing. I mean, how can you not sing a song and say a lyric like, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Or how can you sing a song like, "How great thou art," and not be moved to tears? "And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden, my sins, gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sins." You know, there's a song we sing over in contemporary service, "Reckless Love," and it really comes out of Luke 15, as we've already talked about that. But the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Yet you give yourself away. Oh, the never-ending, reckless love of God. You know, the person who has received God's grace is a person who wants to express their joy. And if you've got a good voice, man, you should sing well. And if you've got a fair voice, well, you should sing fair. And if you've got a croaky voice, you should just croak out those praises to God, right? Like, I'm not a person who is in a choir. I love to sing. And hopefully I'm far away from the mic when that happens. But when we know the truth, how can we not sing? My gosh, all of what God has done for us. Because the point isn't whether we are in tune or not, but it's that we express our joy to God. That's part of our behavior. That's part of how we live that out. And then lastly, number four, is a God-honoring consistency. You know, Paul brings his thought to a fitting peak with his final words in the passage, and he says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And it seems like a perfect conclusion, because a well-balanced Christianity should be revealing Christ consistently. Ken Hughes, a former dean at Wheaton College, he said, "There are a few exhortations in Scripture that are more comprehensive than this one, because word or deed takes in everything in life. Deeds can be preaching, teaching, eating, exercising, driving, cleaning house, shopping, visiting, working, playing basketball, soccer, tennis, fishing, even watching it, everything. Those are all deeds. And then our words, everything that passes through our lips, even in the unguarded moments, everything we say or do is to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the world is watching the believer. It's really interested to see whether we believe, you know, what we believe is what we say. Do those two things match? And how do they tell? They can tell by watching our lives. Are we living a life of God-honoring consistency? And so I guess the question for us this morning is what are you holding back from God? What areas of your life are off limits to the Lord? And maybe it's business or sports or your thought life. Maybe you want God to stay out of your relationships. Maybe you're holding him at an arm's length when it comes to your recreational activities. I mean, maybe it would be an easier way to simply ask the question, where does the Lord have influence in your life? Is your relationship with Christ something that is significant on Sunday? Or is it important the rest of the week? Because Christ wants us to follow him fully and wholeheartedly. You know, I've learned something about doing laundry. Because men, you can do laundry. It is possible. But whenever you put the clothes in the washer, it's really important that you spread them out in the basket evenly. Because if you don't, the washer machine is going to make a lot of noise. And it's going to rock back and forth. It's unbalanced, and you need to fix it. And so for us, we need to ask ourselves, is our lives balanced or not? Are we existing with Jesus simply here, that there's nothing coming out of us into the world? Or are we simply operating without thinking, what would God have me to do? And you need to begin reading your Bible. You know, find a good modern translation, something that you'll be able to understand. You know, dig in, underline, memorize, and obey. Do you need to let others into your lives? Do you need to find a way to help serve the body of Christ? You know, if so, then I would love to talk with you about that, how you could use what God has given you for his glory. And maybe you need to allow joy into your life, that maybe you should sing. You could join the choir, you could join the bell choir. Pay attention to the words when we are singing a hymn and dare to express your faith in song. You know, it's not the person who's sitting next to you that you're singing to. It's God. And so it doesn't matter how good a singer you are. You know, what mother or father here has ever received a Mother's or Father's Day gift from a 1 or 2 or 3 year old and said, you know, and it winds up in a museum? You know, no, they're made by a 1 year old, a 2 year old, a 3 year old, but aren't they precious? You hold them. I mean, I've got things that Sophia made me, and it's like, you know, if I'm honest, they're like, a little sketch. But let me tell you, they are precious to me because my baby gave it to me. And so we sing out to our God and we sing out to our Heavenly Father. He's not listening to how we sing. He's listening to us singing. Finally, do you need to integrate your faith into your everyday living? You know, look for ways to be God-honoring at the restaurant or at home or in the field or in the checkout lane at the store. And give God permission to really speak to you about this and be ruthless about it. Confront your excuses, why you aren't doing it. And allow the Spirit to help you do it. In church, the world is never going to believe what we have to say about Jesus until they see that we believe. what we say about Jesus. Because the world is watching, and how we live really does matter. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful to you. We are grateful, Lord, for so many reasons. Lord, if we were to begin to list all of them, Lord, what a list it would be. And so, Lord, our prayer to you today is that you would take us, our imperfect selves, and send us out. Lord, remind us that it's not us, it's you. That you can use the imperfect. That when we are living you, that's what the world is going to see. When we are living you, that's what the world is going to hear. So Lord, help us to continue to bring together right belief and right behavior. And send us out. Remind us that as soon as we leave these doors, we are entering into a mission field. Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen.